You know, I was really enjoying this song right now.
Amen.
About rescuing the perishing.
Amen.
And caring for the dying. This is really our Lord's heart.
Yes.
But, you know, I'm so glad we didn't start off with this on day one.
Right.
You know, we didn't start here. Actually, I've really, really been so helped and appreciated by our morning line of fellowship.
Amen.
Everything comes back to our organic, romantic, intimate, private, spiritual, and affectionate relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
Everything comes back to this.
Amen.
Whatever we do should be an issue.
Amen.
From our loving Him.
Amen.
You know, actually, the entire New Testament can be summed up in three words. I guess even two words, just three times. These three words are come, go, and come. So the Lord is calling us to come to Him.
Amen.
We see this in Matthew 11 and in John. The Lord wants us to come to Him to find rest, to be satisfied. We first have a thirst that needs to be quenched. We first need to find rest for our souls and receive satisfaction from the Lord. But once we have this, you know what the Lord does? He says, go.
Amen.
Go.
Amen.
Actually, this go is the greatest commission in the Bible. This is the greatest charge from the Lord. We see this in the first three Gospels. The Lord commissions us to go.
Amen.
Disciple all the nations.
Amen.
Proclaim the gospel to all creation. Declare the repentance for forgiveness of sins.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, we can go.
Amen.
And once we participate in this flow, this cycle of the Lord, we just have a desire. Come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Actually, being in this fellowship will bring the Lord Jesus back.
Amen.
It will produce us as those who turn the age. Amen. Amen. There's just so much on my heart. I'm not sure what's going to come out. So please bear with me. Pray for me.
Amen.
Amen. But maybe I could just, you know, let's all read the title of this morning's message.
Preaching.
The gospel in twos or threes. Amen. You know, so preaching the gospel, whenever we hear that, we may have a certain concept that comes to our mind. So I was wondering, maybe we could just, we don't have to cross it out, but let's just write. I came up with this, contacting people and having a heart for man.
Amen.
That's what preaching the gospel is.
Yeah.
It's just having a heart for man.
Amen.
And for contacting them. And then, you know, in the twos and threes, later on, we'll see this is just the way that God ordained. This is the way God prepared for us to go out and contact people. Amen. Amen. So how about we can, let's just read Roman numeral 1 all together. Every member of the body
has a function, duty, and responsibility to bring people to the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. So please circle function, duty, and responsibility. And I would even like to encourage you all, let's add privilege in there. You know, nothing is greater than bringing God to man.
Amen.
And man to God.
Amen.
There's no greater joy on the universe than doing this. That's one side of the coin. But the other side of the coin that this Roman numeral is showing us is that we have a duty. We have a responsibility and we have this function. The Lord, you know, the Lord in John says that He has chosen us and He has set us. That we would bear fruit. You know, we were chosen for this. This is even the meaning of our Christian life. You could say the meaning of our human life is being a Christian.
Amen.
The meaning of the Christian life is living the church life, where there's a group of people caring for God's good pleasure, for His will, His purpose, His economy, and His church.
Amen.
But what's the meaning of this? The meaning of this is actually that we would bear remaining fruit for the Father's glory.
Amen.
If we're not experiencing this, we're falling short.
Right.
We're falling short of our Christian and church life experience. You know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, realized that he was a debtor. He had a debt. So if someone asks you, why are you doing this? You know, why are you sharing this with me? I owe this to you. I owe this to you. I owe you something. I wouldn't be faithful to God and to you and to man. I am a debtor. I owe you something. So this is we really need to see this, that we have this responsibility, this, and also this wonderful privilege. I'm just, you know, I'm so thankful that some were cooperating with the Lord in Denton, Texas, just to make themselves available, not really doing much, just saying, Lord, here I am. I'm going to stand behind a table, you know, and make myself available. I'm just so thankful that there was some cooperating with the Lord in this way, that I could be saved. It just afforded the Spirit an opportunity to convict me and to come forward and say, yeah, I'd like to read the Bible. I said I've believed in this book my entire life, but I actually don't really even know what it says. You know, sure, I'll read the Bible. You know, and this dear brother, actually, not to expose him, is right here. 6 years later, he's now serving full time, Jason Hall in Champaign, Illinois. Who'd have ever thought this? Wow, I'm just so thankful that there's some who will cooperate with the Lord in this way. We never know what will happen by our just availing ourselves to make ourselves available to the Lord.
Amen.
Let's read Roman numeral 2.
We must learn to choose our priests, how to preach the gospel, and to help people to be saved.
Amen. Amen. Let's also read point A. We must have a real love
and concern towards sinners, always bearing the burden for people's souls with a praying spirit. We gain people by showing an intimate concern for them.
Amen. Amen. Well, I would like you to please circle real love. This is the world is missing this right now. Real love. Please also circle praying spirit. And also intimate concern. And you know, this just really starts, as it did in my experience and in all of our experiences, just with a confession. Lord, I don't have this real love. Lord, I don't have a praying spirit. Lord, I don't have this intimate concern. In all honesty, Lord, all I care about is me and myself and I. You know, it starts with this genuine confession and acknowledgement to the Lord. Amen. And then we just ask the Lord, Lord, give me your heart for man.
Amen.
Give me your love for man.
Amen.
Your concern for man. I just hope all of you all would be constrained by the Lord's love and attracted by His beauty to just have this kind of interaction with Him if you have not. It's also an ongoing thing that we need to have. The Lord, as portrayed in Luke 10, is the Good Samaritan who is despised by man, by the self-exalted and self-justifying Pharisees. But he is our man savior.
Amen.
Who has a heart for man. When he passed by the Samaritan, said his heart was moved with compassion.
Amen.
When you're passing by people, when I'm passing by people, is my heart moved with compassion? Just have to confess, I don't have this, Lord. I fall short. But everything just comes back to our organic, affectionate, romantic relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
You know, the more that we love the Lord, the more we will love man. And if we don't have this burden and concern for man, we have to question our times with the Lord, how genuine they are, you know, our prayer times with the Lord, our morning revivals, our morning watches. If we're having a genuine time with the Lord is going to give us His heart for man. It's almost going to be an unbearable burden that we can't contain. Amen. So at this time, let's go ahead and have a pop-up. We'll have Cody come up and just share his experience. Amen.
Does this work? I'm really sure you can hold it on a little bit higher.
All right. I'm going to do this. Does that work? Does anybody hear? Is that good? All right, cool. All righty. All righty. My name is Cody Cobb. I am from born Fort Worth. Locality is Denton. So, anyways, let me get into this. My testimony. So, when I did work at Sprouts, if you don't know what that is, marketplace, some of you guys, I was working at the cash register, and I was in my spirit. I was praying, and it was amazing. I was loving the Lord, and as people would come by, I would shine the Lord on them, Lord, and with a smile or a joke or whatever it may be. And all of a sudden, this lady comes in, and she asked me about an item. She says, and a request. And I find out I can't do that. I'm gonna have, and I tell her, hey, can I? I'm gonna call my manager, and because I can't do this right now, we gotta call somebody. And she says, and then at that moment, she starts cussing at me. For no reason, I don't know this lady, but she starts cussing at me. She says, "You're gonna be like this when you're older. You're gonna be like this when you're older. Who are you to what?" And as peppering in cuss words and and I didn't even know what was happening. I was just like, "What? What?" "What? How is this person like?" And then, but Lord forgave me. I stepped into my outer man. And I started having these thoughts and these feelings, like, what? Who is this person to say this? What is that? And I was in the outer man, and then all of a sudden, as if to tap me on the shoulder, the Holy Spirit and the Lord said, "What about when I told you to love your enemies? What about when I told you to love the people that hate you? What are you doing?" And at that moment, I realized, and I stepped in my spirit by saying, "Lord, forgive me for this. Amen. Oh, for being in my outer man, Lord. Amen. Forgive me for giving her hate, Lord. She does not need my outer man." Amen. So at that time, when I stepped in the spirit and I was delivered out of the outer man, all of a sudden I started having these thoughts and these feelings. How is she? How was her day? How was her life? How was she, you know, something must have hurt her to make me to give that to me, you know? What if that was a reflection on how she felt on her life? And so this intimate, right? This Amen. Intimate concern Amen. Started happening with this lady that just cussed me out. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know this lady, and she just cussed me out, and all of a sudden I have an intimate concern for her. Amen. You know? And that's only by stepping in Amen. To the Spirit, Amen. Right? And that's only by being with the Lord. Amen. And we have to realize, no matter what person, whether we know a person, whether we don't know a person, whether they give us love or even if they give us hate, we got to understand that they don't need our outer man.
Right.
Now, she didn't see me. We were going over preaching the gospel. Now, although I didn't preach the gospel to her, we are one. We are one. Say a brother later, a year from now, yep. talks to her. That's one. That's a unity preaching to her.
Amen.
You know, and
Amen.
And so I just my prayer was that in, you know, right here we see praying in spirit,
Amen.
With the praying spirit.
Amen.
And so yeah, I just wanted to share. Out of the outer man, they don't need that.
Amen.
Whether they hate you or not.
Amen.
And into the inner man.
Amen.
And the Lord will get, and the Lord's heart will touch you as it touched me on that time.
Amen.
And my heart touched
Amen.
The Lord at that time.
Amen.
And He will give you an intimate concern
Amen.
For all man,
Amen.
For all humanity.
Amen.
Amen.
Wonderful. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Cody.
Oh,
and he ended up praying for her salvation. So who knows where this lady is at, but surely the Lord might save her. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So let's go ahead and proceed on to point B. Let's all read that together. The gospel
should be our living and not just our work. We should live for the gospel, not being content to merely have good meetings and a little growth in the church.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for a living. The gospel is not an activity, a work, or a program, but it is a living.
Amen.
The life that we have received is a life that lives out the gospel.
Amen.
So, unfortunately, though, certain words like preaching or gospel or evangelize have been contaminated or inadequately used by Christianity, the organized system, to where we think it's just an activity or it's just a program. But really, it's just a living. You know, this is why the four Gospels, which portray the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, are called the Gospels. Because it's how the Lord Jesus lived. It's who He was. So I just, you know, a little testimony. I came to a realization, you know, that the God whom I believe in is sovereign. So if He really is sovereign, He must sovereignly arrange all situations and circumstances for the sake of the gospel.
Amen.
So in the midst of my daily living, whether being a student or working or whatever it may be, the Lord is arranging our circumstances. But if we don't have a gospel living, we may never know. We may never get to realize how sovereign God really is. So I just have an experience. I mean, so many experiences. Please talk to me afterwards if you want. But especially with who our neighbors are. Oh my goodness. The most open people I have ever met were my neighbors. It was who the Lord sovereignly arranged to live next to me. And guess what? It made the shepherding really easy because I saw them all the time. It's just so incredible. You know, actually, I wanted to ask this question. Why is God triune? Many people try to explain how, but the better question is to ask why. And today I would like to tell you and testify that God is triune for our experience and our enjoyment.
Amen.
This is why God is triune, so we could enjoy Him and experience Him.
Amen.
And guess what? Just like Ephesians 3:8 says, when we are experiencing the triune God, when we are enjoying the triune God, which is just grace, what happens? There's an issue according to Ephesians 3:8. Please write that down. I want you to see this in the Word. You guys probably already got that inscribed into your hearts though, right?
Yeah.
Amen. There's an issue. We announce the unsearchable riches of Christ as the gospel.
Amen.
When you're enjoying Christ, you announce Christ.
Amen.
If you haven't experienced this, once again, I'm sorry to say, but I have to. Your enjoyment and your experience of Christ is questionable. If there is not an outflow, there's a real question about what's coming into you. I have to say this. It's the truth. Okay, let's go to point C. Preaching the gospel
is truly a matter of faith. We must learn to walk and to work by faith, not by sight, appearance, feeling, or any kind of circumstance.
Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm serving full time at Harvard University, which is what some and most fairly so consider to be an intellectual powerhouse. So you may think that the people on that campus aren't, you know, they're satisfied, they're not open, you know. But that's not true. Actually, this point is so wonderful because it causes us to relax and rest. Actually, this work, I hope you can write down hymn 904. Please spend some time enjoying that hymn, praying that hymn, singing that hymn. The work is His and not ours. All we have to do is just go out and cooperate with the Lord.
Yeah.
The Lord has already prepared some.
Right.
Just a real quick testimony, you know, while I was out in Harvard, you know, my gospel partner and I were praying, contacting people, got denied, got rejected. Amen. Spirit of glory rests on our shoulders. Amen. Got denied again, rejected. Spirit of glory. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's not our work, Lord. We're just here cooperating with You. If there's someone that You have prepared, then Lord, lead us to them. If not, we're content with just sowing. We're content with just sowing and watering. Eventually, the last person that we contacted, we asked him, if you could ask God any question, what would you ask God? He responded by saying, what is the purpose of my being here? And we were like, whoa, whoa. We weren't expecting that. So then we asked him, okay, well, where have you been looking for, you know, your answers, you know? He said, well, I've been reading the Bible every day. And we were like, whoa! We almost didn't know how to respond to that. It was incredible. We're still meeting with this dear student every week. And in contact with him every day, we set up a little prayer reading challenge thing. It's awesome. They're out there. We just have to sow. Let's go ahead and read point D. When we preach,
we must learn to speak something about Christ, the living one, not ministering doctrines, but rather living Christ to people.
Amen. Okay, too much here, but dearest Lord Jesus, amen. When I go out to preach, what am I preaching? Am I presenting doctrine, or am I bringing them to a living person? My beloved bridegroom, who I just fell in love with again, freshly in the morning. And now I'm introducing them to my dear beloved. I just, too many times have fallen short when I'm out and there's an opportunity. They want something real. They want Christ. But due to my not having I didn't have a good time with the Lord in the morning, I'm just short. And all I can do is just present a doctrine to them. I fall short. If I would have been in my organic union with the Lord, wow, who knows what could have happened. They wanted that, but I didn't have that. I just fell short. And the last thing I would just like to say is, we need to learn to speak something about Christ. You know, we are a walking billboard. So there is a saying out there which says, preach the gospel at all times and use words if necessary. This is true. We need to have the testimony. But I say, use words because they are necessary. Amen. We have to speak. Amen. If you don't speak, they will never know that you are a Christian. Actually, there's a testimony of a dear brother in Austin. He was living in a neighborhood. Once he moved out, some saints replaced him. And then the saints started talking with the neighbors. And the neighbors were talking about this saint that moved out and said, wow, you know, that family that used to live here, they were some good Mormons. They had a proper testimony. They must have been some Mormons. Wow. What do you want people to think this about you? We have to speak. Faith comes by hearing. Amen. The last thing I want to say is I have to touch this matter of social media. What are we putting out there on social media? This is another form of speaking, is our writing. We have to consecrate our hands, our lips, our feet for the sake of the gospel. Amen. To gain materials for the Lord's church. Amen. So I just want to encourage you. I've interacted with the Lord regarding what I put out there on social media. And now, due to my posting, you know, enjoyments, overflows, this caused many people to call me and reach out to me. Say, what do you have? I want what you have. And now one person is meeting with the church in Irving. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I really like that. Contacting people.
Amen.
And having a heart for man.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I just say amen, 100% with my brother.
Amen.
That, you know, we didn't start the week with preaching the gospel.
Right.
We started the week with a personal, affectionate, loving,
amen,
kissing,
amen,
relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
And I have to say 100% amen.
Amen.
You know, God loves people.
Amen.
He has a heart for man. You know, one time I was spending time with the Lord. And, you know, I don't know if you know me, but in my natural being, I'm very perfectionist, which means I judge people. You don't meet my standard. That's how I am. Praise the Lord. That old man is being torn down.
Amen.
So one day I was spending time with the Lord,
And I was going over a very common verse, John 3:16. As I began to pray, for God so loved the world. And I got stuck. So loved the world. God so loved the world. And eventually there was some infusion. And there's a lot of exposing. I could care less. I judge people. But God so loved the world. So just like what my brother is saying, if you really touch the Lord Jesus in the morning and you kiss Him and you get into His heart and He gets into you, spontaneously, we have a heart for man. If that is not the result, then just right, we question mark. What kind of enjoyment were you having? Who were you touching? Right? Because when we touch the living God, we touch the shepherd. We touch the fisher of men. We become the same. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And also, we've had this fellowship of twos and threes the same way. What is the goal? Yeah. What do we have this for? Yeah. Right? We have twos and threes endeavoring to open to one another and then praying with one another, right? Bearing our burdens together. But let me tell you, if we don't have this element of together reaching out to man, eventually even our twos and threes will dry up. I mean, we see each other year one, year two, year three, it's just you and I, but there's no increase, no fruit. Eventually, you know, and I'm not making this up, I'll read some verses to you, right? In John chapter 15, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it that it may bear more fruit. Okay? So who are we? We need to see who we are, right? The Lord says here in John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and I set you that you should go forth and bear fruit. Amen. And that your fruit should remain. So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. Saints, do we realize we are branches in the vine? Amen. Even we are branches loving one another, but we are branches in the vine. And what are the branches for? You know the vine tree with the grapes? The leaves, it's not for beauty. It's not for decoration. It don't have the big, nice flowers. The branches in the vine, one purpose is to bear fruit. Amen. So we need to get it settled within our being. As a believer, as a branch in the vine, my sole purpose is to bear fruit for the Lord. Amen. And it says that my Father is glorified when you bear fruit and that your fruit remains. Amen. Okay? And guess what? The same way with our twos and threes. Amen. Eventually, we need to realize this is why we are together. This is why we love one another. You know, a husband and wife, they love one another, they open to each other, and guess what? They're very spontaneous, very natural, babies come. Okay? In the same way. I mean, think about it. Many times, you know, if we live for yourself, and you know, oh, we don't want to have any babies, eventually you become a miserable person. You know, when babies come, they're very troublesome. They're very time-consuming. They're money-consuming. That your being is spent, right? So seemingly when we go bear fruit, yes, you will be your time will be used up. Your energy, your money will be used up. But you know what? The other day I called my wife and I started do a FaceTime with my daughter. And she was so happy to see me. She caused so much angst, so much anxiety. But you know what? When I saw her, joy. Amen. Wow, I was so happy. And I said hi to my kids. But this is the same way. If our life, if we are not involved in people's lives, if we're not dispensing God to them. You know that lady, she's that way because nobody has dispensed God to her. How many people are like this? They're messed up. Their families are messed up. They don't. Some of them, they don't know who their dad, who, you know. The world is messed up. And if we dispense God to them, praise the Lord. Your joy will be made full. Amen. 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 So let's read E together. Continue on.
We should not preach the gospel in an individualistic way. Rather, we should do everything corporately in the body through fellowship and coordination.
Amen.
Including in our twos or threes.
That's right. So we should never do things individualistically. Remember, what is God's good pleasure? It's the church. That is what God's desire is. So God's desire is not just we have a gospel campaign and we save millions of people. That may not meet God's goal. What is God's desire is we bring people in so we can build them up to be the church,
Amen.
God's masterpiece.
Amen.
Okay? So when we go out and we do this in an individualistic way, that kind of defeats the purpose.
Yeah.
So even in our going, it should be with twos and threes.
Amen.
You know, in Luke chapter 10, 1, when the Lord sent out the disciples to spread the good news, it was always two by twos, never alone. If you read Paul's epistles, it's Paul and Silvanus and Timothy. Paul with Silas. Paul with Barnabas. It was never Paul by himself. So we need to realize everything we do, especially in the gospel, should be in the principle of the body.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so with this realization, oh, actually, one other thing, Acts 13:2, that was really sweet. You know what the brothers there in Antioch, it says there were these brothers. All kinds of races, right? All kinds of different people. It says they were ministering to the Lord.
Yes.
They were ministering to the Lord.
Amen.
And eventually the Holy Spirit came and called out
Amen.
Saul,
Amen.
Barnabas
Amen.
To the work.
Amen.
So, you know, gospel is not, okay, let's strategize, let's campaign, let's figure out what we're going to do. It's, saints, let's minister to the Lord.
Amen.
With our violent companions, enjoying the Lord.
Amen.
Worshiping the Lord,
Amen.
Touching His heart,
Amen.
Getting into His Word.
Amen.
Eventually, the Spirit will call you.
Amen.
Go to your campus. Speak.
Amen.
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 Amen. Okay? So with this realization, we will work not just by ourselves, but we will ask some others to work together with us in a way of coordination.
Amen.
In this way, the gospel will be powerful and prevailing.
Amen.
So eventually also, if we preach Christ, yet we do not have fellowship, and we do not love one another, eventually our fruit will be very limited. Okay? Don't use gospel to bring people to me. We preach the gospel to bring them to Christ and to bring them to the church.
Amen.
So at this point, I'd like to bring a couple of brothers, Daniel and Kosi, right? To share a little bit.
Jesus.
Amen.
Oh Lord Jesus. Oh Lord Jesus. Man, yeah, I've been appreciating that we actually, to live the Christian life, we can't do it by ourselves. We need the body. But even more, to preach the gospel, we can't do it by ourselves. So just an experience me and Kosi had last week. We're on campus at the table, and it was kind of slow. There was really no one coming through. So I just had a feeling we needed to go out on the gospel. So I asked Kosi, hey, do you want to go out? And he said, yes. So I was like, all right. He said, yes, so I have to go. So we went out, and before even contacting anyone, we prayed together and got into our spirit.
Amen.
And we prayed, Lord, just touch the people we speak to.
Amen.
Lord, be expressed through us.
Amen.
We don't want to be going to speak as ourselves, but just speaking you.
Amen.
And so we were speaking, and we were praying, and then we were enjoying something. We're actually laughing about something, I don't know, but we were laughing and walking towards this guy, and I know he saw us from far. He saw us like, these are two guys enjoying, and they're buddies, and they're just normal guys. So
yeah.
So we decided to speak to him. And actually, I was like, hey, do you have a minute? And he was like, no, I'm busy. And I was like, 1 minute. So he was like, okay, well, I'll speak to you. And so Kosi came in with the mystery of human life and was speaking to him. And as Kosi was speaking, inwardly, I was praying, Lord, speak through Kosi. Lord, dispense your life to this person. So eventually, you know, we got to the prayer part, and he agreed to pray with us. And we all prayed together, and he prayed to receive the Lord. And actually, you know, I saw his face. It wasn't, you know, some people pray with you and they're just repeating, but his face was genuine. He was actually praying to receive the Lord. So I really enjoyed, you know, that experience. I needed Kosi for that, and Kosi needed me. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So after that, on that same experience, we were thinking of going back inside because it's too hot outside. But actually, because we were enjoying it, in the enjoyment, we just convinced each other to stay outside and keep on preaching and stay in the enjoyment. So we go to one more person, and then we asked to talk to him, but he rejected us because he was on Pokemon Go or something. But then actually I realized that if I was alone, I would have been discouraged and stopped preaching the gospel. But I was with Daniel, so we kept on going. And if we stopped there, imagine this next person actually. So we go to this next person and we share to him the mystery of human life. We do the same thing. One is praying and then one is speaking the mystery of human life. And this person was very receiving. And actually, we saw the joy in this person. So this person prayed with us to receive the Lord. Amen. And he was very happy. Amen. Actually, I've never seen anybody so happy to receive Jesus. Amen. So this person, actually, when he was praying, he was like, Lord, come into me. And I'm not exaggerating. He said, Lord, I give you for your purpose. He was so happy, and he was filled with joy. Amen. So I enjoyed preaching out the gospel with the companion.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Actually, that's what the Bible says. It says that if we are perfected into one, then the world will believe. So this is so crucial that even when we go out, right? The Lord prayed in John 17, Lord, that they would be one. When they are one, even as we are one, right? Eventually, the world will believe. So the power of the gospel is not in your argument, not in your logic. It's you are enjoying Jesus.
Amen.
Together with your vital companion.
Amen.
And then the world will believe.
Amen.
Okay, so let's move on. Let's all read Romans 3.
After taking the steps to become blessed in Jews or priests through mutual fellowship, prayer, and care, we should go on to contact people for the increase of Christ's body.
Amen. So as I said, all of the previous fellowship is wonderful, but there's a goal for that. We don't just get living and then sit on it. We become living, we become vital, we enjoy one another, we have fellowship. Well, for what? So we should go and contact people. Okay? A. Let's read A together.
We should then pick up the burden and take action with our companions to contact sinners or Christians.
Mm-hmm. You know, in Daniel 11:32 says, those who know their God will what? Show strength and take action. Praise the Lord. Show strength and take action. So there's some sisters who showed strength and took action that would like to share with us here. Right? Sophia and Maria and Miles.
I'm Maria, and I go to UIC, and I just finished my freshman year. And last summer, I did an internship with the Saints, and that's how I gained a companion, Sophia here. And this school year, we started doing tabling, and that was my first time actually doing a tabling, and I really didn't like it. But throughout the school year, I gained another companion, Justine here, and that's when I really enjoyed having companions with me tabling, because it was so much sweeter when I had companions with me preaching the gospel, and when they started getting busy with school or transferring, that's when I realized that I really needed more students in my Bible study. And I just had a burden for more freshmen there. And when I told my companions, like, we have this burden for my campus, and we all have, we prayed about this, and be like, it's our corporate burden to gain more underclassmen or Bible study.
I'm Justine. I'm from Normal. I'm doing the internship in Chicago, and then in the internship, we're required to go out gospel preaching 3 times a week, and I'm like, oh Lord, I haven't done it since high school. And at that time, I didn't really have the heart for man or to go gospel preaching, so it was really a struggle for me. Actually, mainly when we went out to preach the gospel, I usually just leave them in the bathrooms, or the tracts in the bathrooms are on the tables, and when people like walk towards me, I'd like make sure to go to the other side. So with a lot of prayers and patience from my companions, by the end of the internship, I was able to walk towards people and like actually say, you know, at least two phrases. When I started gaining the burden again to preach the gospel to my friends and like other people, out of the blue, my friend messaged me and asked me about all these questions about like what I believe in Christianity. I'm like, what just happened? And so I was like, okay, I was ready to respond, but then I was like, oh wait, no. So I called my companions, and then we prayed about it first, and they helped me like figure out what to say or what to respond to my friend, and through that we gained like more burdens to pray for each other and like each other's friends. And so praise the Lord for companions, because even though we go to different schools, it's we could still grow in the Lord together.
I think it was really sweet for me to have these two next to me, because like she said, we all go to different schools. And so I think I was really discouraged starting my school, because there weren't a lot of saints there, and we don't have a Christian club. So my excuse to not preach the gospel was like, Lord, until I get a Christian on campus club, I'm not preaching the gospel on campus. I don't want to talk to anyone. I had no heart for anyone. I was like, Lord, I don't mind the school, but I don't care for your people at this school. I don't have a heart towards men. I don't care for anyone here other than just going to school, doing what I had to get done, and just leaving. But when we were praying for their burdens and stuff, I realized, Lord, what kind of heart do I have towards men, right? What kind of heart do I have toward people at my school? And I think one day, like after talking about their burdens, about, you know, their friends, our friends, you know, more saints on campus, I realized I was just listening to a hymn and I was watching people walk by, because I love to people watch. And I realized, I was like, Lord, these people need you. I have you. But I'm very selfish. I don't want to tell you to other people. And so I remember I just talked to them about it. And I think we got together and, you know, we prayed about it. And I realized that even in this internship, right, having companions is so crucial. Going out to preach the gospel 3 times a week is very, it gets you into your spirit. Whether you want to or not, it gets you into your spirit. And you start to have a corporate burden for people, right? Not only your friends, but people you don't even know. You start to have a heart for men. So I really appreciated that through companions and going out, taking action, you start to turn your heart towards the people in the world.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's wonderful. Yes. You know, when we have companions, we begin to have a heart for people. Amen. Even if it's not within us. Yes. So that's really, really the case. Amen. So B says, we should fellowship with our companions through desperate prayers for the Lord's blessing. Actually, just a little testimony. When I was in college, actually, there was no full-timers. I was at Ohio State. But there's two or three of us that really had a burden. We need to get people saved. And we were, at that point, we were like open air preaching. We didn't know what to do. We were wild. I think we scared off all the sisters. But But we were so burdened that we would get people saved. So eventually we decided every week we would go to the basement of the student union and we would just full release praying. We didn't care. I mean, people literally were like, hey, shut up, you know. But we were just praying for the Lord to save people. And we would go in the open air. Nobody got saved through that. But so the next quarter, we said, we need to keep doing this. We kept doing it. We didn't go out open air preaching, but eventually that year, the Lord gave us 3 remaining fruits. Amen. Mainly to our contacts, to somebody else. But the point is, desperate. Yeah. Desperate prayer.
Amen.
Fellowship with one another, and through desperate prayer, Amen. The Lord will give us the blessing.
Amen.
Okay, let's read C together.
We should set a definite goal, strong determination to gain at least 1 remaining fruit yearly.
Amen. Wonderful. We should challenge the Lord.
Yeah.
Challenge the Lord, right? Whatever the odds are, you know, no, there's no Christians on campus. You're the only one there. Challenge the Lord, right? That He would give you 1 remaining fruit.
Amen.
You think the Lord would? No, the Lord is waiting for you to
Amen.
Pray that,
Amen.
Right? And He will answer that.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, and then D. Let's all read D together.
We should review our acquaintances and make a list of them, and then pray over this list and seek the Lord's leading concerning who should be the first for us to take care of.
Amen. So if we're serious about gaining fruit, we need to put them on the list. This is a very helpful practice so that you're reminded all the time, especially if you have that list with you. Okay? And we have a sister, Amy Young, that to... share a little bit about her practice of making a list.
Hello. Hi, so my name is Amy, and I'm going into my senior year at Colorado State University. And I just kind of want to share with you my experience on this point. So there's a sister. Okay, I guess I should back up a little bit. This time last year, right, we were all, a lot of us were at the National College Training. So, at the National College Training, there was a very strong burden, like this burden, to bear fruit. And another sister from Fort Collins and I, we both had this burden to bear fruit.
Yeah.
So when the semester started, things looked a little bit different on our campus because there had been many sisters on campus in the spring, but they all graduated and all but one of them left. So I was coming onto this new campus as a transfer student, and there was only one other sister on this campus, and she actually wasn't a student either, but her husband was still there. So praise the Lord kept her there,
Amen.
So we could preach the gospel together.
Amen.
It was so sweet. You know, I'll preface a little bit by saying that we are completely different people. So, you know, in the natural realm, it would not have been a normal pairing. But praise the Lord, our relationship was not in the natural realm.
Amen.
Amen. So at the beginning of the school year, we always have a lot of freshman contacts to take care of. And we decided that, you know, we need a set time to pray for these ones. So we had a list, you know, we were assigned to so many freshmen each, and we would consistently pray for these freshmen. We had them, you know, either on our phone or there was a contact list that we would keep with us and we would pray for them.
Amen.
And in addition to that, we set up weekly appointments to preach the gospel. And that was, amen, it was so sweet. So, you know, during our time preaching the gospel weekly, no one got saved, no one, you know, prayed to receive the Lord with us, but it was still so encouraging just to be on campus speaking forth Christ.
Amen.
I have to impress you at this point, you know, I thought I would be so disappointed if no one got saved, but every week it was still so encouraging to be preaching the gospel.
Amen.
It's a privilege to preach the gospel.
Amen.
So our list. In the beginning, it was definitely for the freshmen. But as the semester continued, we got more gospel contacts, you know, that we needed follow-up to some degree, both on and off campus. So if you know this sister, you would not be surprised to hear that she meets people in the grocery store and starts talking to them about Christ. And she goes to training in a different city for something like a job or an internship or whatever. And she comes back and says, I have this new gospel contact. So we were praying for her gospel contacts. And on my side, I had many classmates that I was burdened for. So we added all of these ones to our list. And it was so, so good. So when we came together, before, you know, taking care of them, before preaching the gospel, before doing anything, we always came together to pray.
Amen.
And we not only prayed concerning who to take care of first, but also how to take care of them.
Amen.
Because we realized that, you know, our list was so long. We just had no ability to do it.
Amen.
So we really needed the Lord's leading
Amen.
On who to take care of first and how to take care of them.
Amen.
Amen. And I appreciate the verse for this point is Romans 1:9. And the part B says, how unceasingly I make mention of you always in my prayers.
Amen.
And this is so sweet because even though, you know, the sister and I are very different, we got written on each other's heart through
Amen.
This through this experience.
Amen.
And not only each other, but all of those who we were burdened for got written on each other's heart.
Amen.
And so, you know, whenever we're together, whenever we call each other, it's, you know, we still ask each other, how is that one that we prayed for? You know, is there any development on this one?
Amen.
Or what about this one? You know, and the list goes on and on.
Amen.
So, amen.
Amen.
Okay, I need to wrap up here. But praise the Lord. You know, actually, even your care for new ones, and then you're opening them up in fellowship and prayer, that actually even builds you up even more. You know, eventually, if, you know, like my wife and I, we don't just let our kids be, and then somehow they'll turn up somewhere, you know, maybe in jail. But we have to consider, we have to pray, we have to fellowship. What does this my son needs? What does my daughter need? And then we consider, and we need to buy something, we need to rearrange something in our life, in our habits, so that they would grow up in a normal way.
Amen.
So, and that kind of practice actually brings us closer to one another.
Amen.
So in the same way, with our companions, when we're caring for people,
yes.
we have to bring them up in fellowship,
Amen.
Pray about them,
Amen.
Consider them,
Amen.
You know, what are your observations? Eventually, that kind of fellowship builds you up together, and when you go, there's a mutual burden. And the Lord will bless that kind of oneness.
Amen.
Okay, and the last thing, F, we should not expect to have a quick result, but continue to labor with inexhaustible patience and unceasing intercession.
Amen.
So, you know, our sister, right, maybe last year they didn't get any fruit. Don't worry. Keep laboring.
That's right.
This year, the Lord will bless.
Amen.
Right? So, don't be discouraged.
Amen.
Right? You don't have babies and they don't grow up in, you know, one day. It takes at least 9 months for the baby to come out. And it takes a long time of parenting. So, you know what? This is the human life, but this is also the divine life.
Amen.
So may the Lord make all of us
Amen.
Fruitful
Amen.
Branches
Amen.
In the Lord's vine.
Amen.
So we could all read the focus together. Okay? After being blended in twos or threes, through mutual fellowship, prayer, and care, we must corporately fulfill our function and responsibility to love others and preach the gospel to them as part of a normal gospel living. Amen.